Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Oh yeah. So good. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Blessings and glory. Honor. All belongs. Blessings.
Blessings and glory and honor
and honor.
They all
belong.
Come on, everybody,
to
say blessings.
If you know you've been blessed, I said, if you know that you know that you know that you've been blessed, I dare you, I double dare you to give God praise.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, after all that I've been through, after all that I've been through, I still have joy. Come on, come on, come on, devil, you can't steal my praise. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. Woo! In the book of Job. Hallelujah. In the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 10. There is a word from the Lord, and y'all know that all this year we've been preaching about restoration. We have declared for Pleasant Hill that this is the year of restoration. Amen, amen. Job chapter 42 and verse 10, the word of God reads, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and God, we ask that you would speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people that will remind us that you are a restorer. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Have you ever had a season in your life where it felt like everything that could go wrong went wrong at the same time? Let me back up, rewind, and ask you that question again. Have you ever had a season in your life, and somebody's looking at me saying, right now, where it felt like everything that could go wrong went wrong, watch this, at the same time? I'm not talking about one problem. I'm talking about layers of trouble. Trouble on your job, trouble in your home, trouble in your body, and confusion in your spirit. You prayed, but it seemed like heaven went silent. You believed, but things still broke. You trusted, but life still turned upside down. Can I tell y'all something? That's where we find Brother Job. And here's the tension of the text. Job was not a bad man. He was, the Bible says, a blameless man. He was not out of order. The Bible says he was upright before God. Yet, my brothers and sisters, trouble still came knocking at Job's door. Which means this: suffering is not always a sign of sin. Y'all, sometimes it is God setting the stage for your restoration. And this morning, we're going to walk through this truth. Here's the truth. God specializes. As a matter of fact, help me preach this. Tell your neighbor. Say, God specializes in restoring people who thought their story was over. Oh, I ought to have a witness. I ought to have somebody who's been there, done that. Amen. 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 God specializes in restoring people who thought their story was over. Here's the first point I want to leave you with this morning. Restoration begins with honest pain. Honest pain, honest pain, honest pain. You see, the text opens up by showing us a man who had it all. He had a family. He had wealth. He had favor. He had influence. But in one chapter, everything collapses. He loses his children in a single tragedy. He loses his wealth in a single day. He loses his health in a single season. And what I appreciate about Job is this: Brother Job does not fake his pain. See, some folk got to fake it to make it, but I've come by to tell us this morning that God demands honesty of his people. The Bible says Brother Job tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. Y'all, that's grief. That's real. That's honest. Oh, my. But watch this. Tell your neighbor he worshiped in the middle of it. How do I know? How do I know Job worshiped in the middle of it? I know it because in the middle of his mess, in the middle of his dilemma, the Bible records Job crying out, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, don't miss that. He doesn't say it didn't hurt. He doesn't say he understood it all, but he refused to let his pain silence his praise. Oh, my. Y'all don't even know when to shout. Amen. I said he refused to let his pain silence his praise. Oh my, I've been there, but I made up in my mind that I wasn't going to let haters steal my praise. I wasn't going to let the devil steal my praise, even if I've had to flat-footed look in the mirror and say I've been lied on, I've been cheated, I've been talked about, and I've been mistreated, but as long as I've got King Jesus. Come on, where are my folk who can testify that as long as the Lord was with me, let them lie, let them cheat, let them mistreat, but you are not going to steal my praise. There's a teaching moment here. You see, some church folk have been taught to suppress pain. Y'all know how we try to spiritualize everything and we try to make everything sound like scripture. Amen. We tell folk, oh, baby, just be strong. We tell folks, no, don't cry. Just move on. Just move. Now, all of that sounds good, but that's not honesty in your pain. Where are my folk who don't mind saying, Pastor, I've had to cry sometimes? Where are my folk who don't mind saying, Pastor, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but that thing hurt me so bad that I couldn't go to sleep at night? Amen. I have to be honest in my pain. And I need to tell you that God is not intimidated by your honesty. You can cry and still be faithful. You can question and still believe. You can hurt and still worship. Can I tell you what honest pain looks like? It admits the hurt. It refuses to pretend. It brings everything to God. It keeps worship alive even in weakness. Sort of like a tree in a storm. The tree doesn't deny the wind that's blowing. As a matter of fact, the tree bends underneath the weight of the wind that is blowing. But y'all, because the tree is rooted, it doesn't break. Anybody in here glad you're rooted? Amen. I don't know how you got to church. I don't know how you got your first chance at knowing something about God. Maybe mama drug you to church. Maybe grandma, grandpa, maybe daddy drug you to church. But is there anybody here who can celebrate the fact that it was in church that I got rooted in the Word of God? And let the storms come, let the winds blow, but because I'm rooted in my faith, I may bend, but I will not break. Somebody ought to give him praise in here today. And I came to tell somebody that God can handle your bending as long as you stay rooted. Stay rooted. I said stay rooted. It started out for me a long time ago. Amen. I was coming here to Pleasant Hill in the old church. I'd be in training union every Sunday night learning that there's 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, the first and last book of the. I thank God for all of that because it caused me to be rooted in this word. There's power in the word. My joy is in the word. Strength is in the word. Thank God that you're rooted. Restoration begins with honest pain. But then the second thing I need to tell you is that restoration requires persistent faith. Now here's where it gets difficult. Because most people can survive the loss, but they struggle in the middle of it. The middle. Pastor, what's the middle? The middle. The middle is where prayers feel unanswered. The middle is where people misunderstand you. In the middle is where time stretches longer than your strength. Anybody in here ever been in the middle of something? Amen. You finally got over losing whatever you lost, but in the middle of it, it seemed like you wanted to give up and throw in the towel. Job's friends show up, but instead of comforting him, they accuse him in the middle. Something you did, Job. It had to be something you did. You've angered God. Amen. You're sick because you sinned. You're sick. Amen. You've lost your job. It had to be because of something that you did. I'm telling you, it gets difficult in the middle. And can I be real? Some of the greatest pain you will ever experience comes from people who should have understood you. Ain't it funny how the folk you helped, When they were down to their last dime, amen, you went to bat for them, you stood in for them, but as soon as a little trouble comes in your life, they have the nerve, they have the audacity, they have the unmitigated gall to look you in your face and say it has to be because of something you did wrong. It's just got to be. Oh, but it wasn't wrong that caused you when you got broke. It wasn't wrong, amen, when you got sick. Amen. But in the middle of all of that misunderstanding, Job makes one of the most powerful declarations in the Bible. Do y'all hear what Job said? Job said, y'all may talk about me. Y'all may leave me by myself. But here's one thing I know. I know my Redeemer lives. I know. Not I feel. I know. Not I see. I know. Amen. Not I understand. He said, I know. Y'all, faith is not about what you see. It's about what you settle in your spirit. It's all right to have religion. But if that religion has not transcended your flesh, if it hasn't transcended your carnal mind and gotten down in your spirit, you really don't have anything. See, because when your faith is settled in your spirit, you may not have a dime in your bank account. You may not have, amen, two nickels to rub together. But when that faith is down in your spirit, baby, you can get in Walmart between the Del Monte peas and the tomatoes and still say, I know I'm leaving out of here with some food in my basket. Because the Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, my faith in my spirit says to me, I'm going to get a hamburger some kind of way. Give him praise in this place. You've got to have persistent faith. Can I tell you what persistent faith does? It speaks when circumstances are silent. It stands when everything is shaking. It believes when evidence is missing. It holds on when strength is fading. Can I push the room this morning? You don't need full clarity to have real faith. You don't need all the answers to keep on trusting God. Come on, I got two or three. Just come on, I'll make four. Four of us who have learned that, yeah, I don't understand what's happening. I can't explain it. But one thing I know my Redeemer lives. Because sometimes faith sounds like this. I don't understand, but I trust you. I don't see it, but I believe you. I don't feel it, God, but I'm holding on. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Restoration begins with honest pain. Restoration requires persistent faith. But then the third point I want to leave you with is that restoration is rooted in revelation of God. Now, here's where God steps in. After all the suffering, after all the questions, those of you who've read the book of Job, you know what I'm talking about, because it seems like God was silent for a long time. Amen, amen. But after all the suffering, after all the questions, you Bible readers know that God finally speaks. But watch this. Oh, God is so awesome. He doesn't explain to Job the situation, but rather he reveals himself. He starts asking Job some questions. He says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, I've heard you asking all these questions, but can you command the morning to show up? Brother Job, can you control the seas? Y'all know how Jesus stood up on that boat in the midst of the storm and said, "Peace be still." God asked Job, "Amen, can you explain some things to me?" In other words, my brothers and sisters, God is saying, before I explain anything, you need to remember who you're talking to. Yeah. You bugging me for an explanation. You want to understand, you know, what you're going. You want to understand why you're going through. But the problem, Brother Job, is you need to remember who you're talking to. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Sometimes, y'all, God will not give you an explanation. Do you know why? Because an explanation will not sustain you. Nudge your neighbor and tell him an explanation won't sustain you. Come on, think about your own situation. Think about what you're going through. Think about that problem that you're facing. Amen. God very well could give you an explanation, but that explanation will only last so long. The explanation will not sustain you, but can I tell you what will sustain you? God revealing himself to you. I don't understand it, but I know who you are. Job responds, he says, "I had heard of you, but now my eyes see you." Do y'all know what Job was saying? Job was saying, before the storm, I knew about you. But after the storm, I know you. Is there anybody here who's been through some stuff? You've been through some trials, you've been through some storms. Amen. When you were in it, you couldn't understand it. You couldn't explain it. But on the other side of that storm, you still can't explain it. But you know beyond any shadow of doubt that it was God who kept me. It was God who delivered me. It was God who brought me through and God who brought me out. Revelation produces deeper trust. Revelation produces greater humility. Revelation produces stronger faith. Revelation produces clearer perspective. It's sort of like when you were a child and your mama or your daddy tried to get you to understand that you don't want to touch that stove because it's hot. You don't want to, amen. I never will forget, I was a kid, and back at that time, we had one of these big heaters in the bathroom, you know, those big heaters, and I still to this day bear some marks because I sat on that heater that mama said, that heater will mess you up. Amen. Stay away from that heater. It's like somebody describing fire to you your whole life. You can understand it intellectually, but the moment you feel that heat for yourself, your understanding shifts. And some of you, what you're going through right now is God introducing you to God in a way that comfort never could. If you had not gone through that storm, if you had not had to deal with that sickness, your understanding of God would not be what it is today. Somebody give God praise for bringing you through. Restoration begins with honest pain. Restoration requires persistent faith. Restoration is rooted in revelation of God. I've got one more point and I'm through. Restoration often follows release. Now we arrive at the turning point. The Bible says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends." Don't rush past that. Not when time passed, not when he stopped hurting, but when he prayed for the very folks who wounded him. God says, "I'm going to restore you. Amen, but not until you pray for the folk who caused you the hurt in the first place." Y'all, God tied Job's restoration to his willingness to release some stuff. Nudge that person that's sleeping next to you and tell them, you got to let some stuff go. Yeah, we come up in here talking about, yeah, we want God to bless us. We want God to deliver us. We want God to work it out. Amen, amen, amen. And I know it's hard because it's easier to hold a grudge than it is to release grace. But you got to release some stuff. Pastor, what do I need to release? You need to release bitterness. You need to release offense. You need to release the need for revenge. I don't get mad. I get even. And then some message person added something else to it. I don't get even. I get ahead. But if you're going to get restoration in your life, you got to release some stuff. You got to release the need to be understood. Because hear me clearly. You cannot carry pain and purpose at the same time. You cannot carry pain and purpose at the same time. That begs a question. Which one are you going to let go of? Are you going to keep walking in your pain, your bitterness, your anger? Amen. Are you going to release that stuff so you can walk in your purpose? Can I tell you something? Your reward in heaven is tied to your purpose. I know we sing songs. I'm going to wear a long white robe, and I'm going to put on my golden shoes and walk this out. No, ain't none of that going to happen until you let some stuff go. Amen. I hate to be the one to tell you, but everybody in heaven ain't going to have on long white robes. I hate to be the one to tell you, but not everyone in heaven is going to have on crowns. Amen. Some are going to get there by the skin. What's that saying? Of my chinny chin chin. By the skin of your teeth. Amen. You're going to be able to celebrate that I'm here, but your reward is going to be diminished because you were unwilling to let some stuff go. At some point, you've got to let it go. Some of y'all are not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. That's a good place for a praise. You think you're waiting on God for your blessing, for your deliverance, for your healing. Amen. But that is not the case. It's not really that you're waiting. God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to forgive. He's waiting on you to release. He's waiting on you to let go. He's waiting on you to move forward. And here's the good news of the text. God didn't just restore Job. He gave him double. Which means what you lost is not the end of your story. What broke you will not define you. What hurt you will not hold you. Because when God restores, he doesn't just bring you back. Do I have a witness that he brings you back better? Can I close it like this? You may have cried in the night, but joy is still coming in the morning. You may have lost some things, but you ought to thank God that you did not lose everything. You may have been broken, but you are not beyond repair. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm getting ready to restore what you thought was over. I hear the Lord saying, I'm getting ready to rebuild what you thought was finished. I hear the Lord saying, I'm getting ready to give you double for your trouble. Is there anybody here this morning who can declare, thank God, I'm still standing? Is there anybody here this morning who can thank God, I'm still believing? Is there anybody here this morning who can thank God that I'm still holding on to my faith? You ought to thank God.